Welcome to Entrepreneurs the Playbook. I'm David Meltzer. We're here at the Pro Athlete Community with advisors and investors. They may have been former athletes, at least Frank and I were. I am a well-renowned below-average college football player, if you don't remember. But Julius Thomas is the real deal at the end. Founder and CEO of Optimal Performance, also advisory board member here at PAC, Bronson Cafusi, also an advisory board member. A member of the amazing OG1, you got to check that out, but founder of Young Athlete Society as well, Bronson. Julius, thanks for joining. I got my pal here. We wouldn't be here but for Frank Perdomo. He's an extraordinary entrepreneur and investor, but he was wise enough to invest in PAC.
Yeah.
And so we owe you a ton of gratitude because this is an extraordinary community.
Yeah.
And that's where I'd like to start. I'll start with our investor over here and work our way down.
Sounds good.
From shortest to tallest. Community is so important. In business, I keep telling people, don't worry about company, worry about culture.
Yeah.
And culture is created by community. Community is created by people who want to help each other and know people that help each other. And if we can't create the culture around it, nobody gets any help, nobody gets any value. How have you seen community, Frank, interplay with your businesses and your investments?
It's huge, huge, huge. Without the community, obviously, listen, one individual can't impact by themselves. So you got to have the community to be able to impact. And as a whole, as long as you can get everybody with the same mission, same message, and you're serving and everybody's on the same page with that, obviously, it's a lot more impactful. And I've been able to do that through some of our businesses. It's making sure that everybody's aligned with the right message, with the right mission and the right vision. And it obviously starts from the top down, cascading it all the way down and getting everybody to believe and then going out and impacting the community as best as we can.
So this is all about community. Bronson, you have been an integral part in so many different communities, pouring into them. But what makes a community is the aggregate of individuals. I think Mother Teresa, someone said, it just takes a small group of people that are definiteness in their purpose to change the world. Mm-hmm. And I always say the bigger the people and the bigger the stages, the more powerful the community. I don't think it gets any bigger than it does here at the Pro Athlete Community.
Yeah.
How important are the people that exist in the community?
They're everything, honestly. You know, when I look at teams, organizations, it's like they do great things. We all see the outcomes. But when you boil it down to the individuals and what they bring, that culture, when everyone's willing to give before they get, it creates a culture that everyone can win. And so I don't know, for me, like watching Pro Athlete Community just expand and grow, it's contagious because that's the mindset. The mindset is, hey, we're all here to learn. We're all here to give, add value. And, you know, it really destroys the, you know, kind of that taking mentality where it's me, 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 the ego's gone. So I think as athletes, you learn that championship culture is built on that foundation. And that's what makes Pro Athlete Community so special.
And also, Bronson, pouring into the youth. Obviously, they look up to all of you guys. But, you know, when I ran Lee Steinberg, the sports agency, you know, I could get on a PSA, public service announcement, and talk about real men don't, you know, hit women. But when Evander Holyfield did it, it meant something.
Yeah.
And that's what makes this community even more powerful. Julius, you have a great presence, impact, empowering, especially our youth as a role model. This community is full of role models.
Yeah.
And it is for the sake of the next generation. What are some of the things that you see in the community of pouring back as an advisor to this community, back into our youth?
You know, I think that one of the biggest things that we've really started to uncover and a lot of the work we're doing at PAC is how do we help the inside of the man and the woman that's in our community? You know, sometimes it's really easy to overlook what's happening internally. And at PAC, we really have a strong focus on building from the inside out. And so what we're trying to do is how do we help prepare professional athletes for what comes next? How can we be that bridge? So that when you become involved in this community, you start to be able to take the action and the steps that are required to be able to help you to have lifelong fulfillment, to have lifelong success. But really, how do you start to position people, same way we were talking about like a company, so that you're able to do that with the right network around you and the right community? But what we're also going to be able to find out in that process is what's working for the athletes today. What we're perfecting is a way to develop and build and really position for the future. is going to be the same process that young people are going to be going through if they get the opportunity to play a professional sport or to be able to become an iconic figure or an entrepreneur or an investor, you name it. And so I think in every generation, that's where we work on and we build the new and improved processes that ultimately just benefits the generation that comes behind.
So smart. And back at you again, Julius. You know, this pro athlete community is full of Hall of Famers. In fact, I don't know if you guys know, but Candace Parker got inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame today.
Wow.
Oh, that's awesome. We're here, which is super cool.
Yeah.
But not all of us can be Hall of Fame athletes. And, you know, representing the Pro Football Hall of Fame for so many years, I learned within the Hall of Fame, there's still levels of heroes, right? Like everybody looked up to Joe Namath or Warren Moon or Troy Aikman or Steve Young. And then you got like John Randall and guys like that were different levels. But I also see that as we get older, we all should have or want to have or strive to be in a Hall of Fame. For me, I want to be in the Hall of Fame to sleep. I want to be the best sleeper in the world. I want to recover better than anyone and access information while I sleep better. I think those two things will allow me to succeed and help other people more. Julius, if you could be in the Hall of Fame for anything, what would it be?
That's actually a great question. And I think, you know, I was talking so much about my calling on Monday, and my calling really came through my journey of understanding that you can have the things on the outside and still suffer.
Yeah.
And I know that that's what I'm supposed to do, is I'm supposed to work on suffering, but I really choose to do it in a unique way. And if I could be in the Hall of Fame for anything, I would want to be in the Hall of Fame for changing the way we do corporate performance and well-being. Ooh. Right now, not enough people are talking about the organizational strains on the people in these settings, right? $300 billion a year lost on job stress, 200 million days lost of work due to mental health conditions. We've got half of the United States of America saying, I'm burnt out here.
Yeah.
Help me. But then you talk to leaders and they say, well, how do we create cultures where we can be as high performing as possible, which we need, but then also are healthy and have well-being for the individuals in there? And it's always been seen as an and or. And for me, I'm like, no, it doesn't have to be one or the other. We're going to do both. And 30 years from now, when I've had a new 30-year career of helping individuals in that space, I would like to be in that Hall of Fame of people that came in to corporations and organizations and taught people how to have the highest performing cultures and reduced a lot of the physical, mental, emotional, and relational health consequences that can sometimes come with trying to be great.
So good. And we all get callings. It's interesting. Later on in my life, I got a calling to empower over 1 billion people to be happy, utilizing my skill set to make a lot of money for the sake of helping others and having fun. Because I never met anyone who makes a lot of money, helps people, and has fun that isn't happy. But I went to Tim Story, my mentor, because I really didn't believe in callings.
Mm.
And I was like, Tim, man, I swear to God, God talked to me. It put it in my heart. But like to empower over 1 billion people, change the world, that's not very humble. He said, oh, no. He said, David, God's not going to give you an invitation without already knowing your limitations.
Yep.
So you'll be fine. Follow that calling. And I love that because in essence of the Hall of Fame is also incorporated a calling as well. Bronson, if you could be in any Hall of Fame, what would it be?
It's a really good question. I mean, for me, there's a saying that I always say, like my social media, I always sign off with it, and it's always winning. And I say that because I would want to be in the Hall of Fame for helping others win. Because when you help others win, you're always winning.
That's a real legacy.
Yeah. And so for me, I mean, it's value creation. It's helping athletes. It's helping business owners, entrepreneurs. It's helping family offices. It's helping, you know, it's just when you're able to do that in a way that is, you know, authentic and, you know, full of integrity, and you just want to sincerely help other people win, it just makes life so fulfilling. And kind of like what you were talking about, I feel like that's how you can impact people the most, is just by, you know, hearing what they're working on, because everyone's working on something. And then, you know, hey, saying, oh, okay, here, let me help you out, let me connect the dots here. So that's what I would want to be in the Hall of Fame.
In that Hall of Fame, I always thought, if I leave millions of dollars, which at the time was a lot, now I say billions of dollars, but if you left billions of dollars, that would be a legacy, but not nearly the legacy of leaving people that are going to leave even more. You know, empowering 1,000 people to empower 1,000 to empower 1,000. That's a true legacy. Amazing. All right, Anchorman, the big investor at PAC.
Let's go.
What Hall of Fame would you be in?
Well, you go. I'm going to piggyback words that you guys already used, which is impacting. How I've scaled the impact that I've had on specifically on underserved communities. I think there's a lot of people that just lack the resources, and it's making sure that we impact them and we scale that, not just here in the U.S., but scale it into other third world countries and all that. Maybe really making a difference, you know, just on even the most basic stuff, like simple, like water, you know, home, food, just very simple stuff that just are basic needs of survival. And if I can impact that and scale it and just do it one, you know, kind of one person at a time, but have a lot of people in the community help me out with that same and scale it out there, then that's kind of the legacy, if you want to call it that, that I want to be able to be remembered for in the Hall of Fame. So,
yeah. Got a lot of impactful Hall of Famers up here today. The PAC community also is about supporting investment, you said, into underserved communities. And you have to be very intentional of where we invest two things. And they're the two most overlooked man-made constructs. One is money and one is time. Mm-hmm. And the more capability we have to be more conscious or aware of where are we utilizing or investing our money and our time. But we were talking a little bit about it, and a lot of people don't do the math. They don't do the math with money, and they don't do the math with time. And they wonder why they don't get the results that they're looking for. So I was hoping with your wealth of experience, and I'll go this way back to you, Julius, but Frank, what methodology or tip can you give us about how you decide to invest your money or invest your time?
To me, it comes down a lot to passion. I've got to have a passion, and it has to be aligned. Because if I can align the passion and the mission behind what I'm going to do, that's the reason I invested in PAC. Because to me, it was such an educational platform in helping others that might have come from underserved communities and all that stuff to elevate their game after whatever it was, whether it's pro career or whatever. So making sure that we invest in education, catching them as early as we can to prepare them for that plan B, because plan A may be for them sports, right?
Yeah.
But then what's going to happen after, right? And it's preparing them as early as you can, not after the fact, being proactive, not reactive on it. So I invest in things that are educational. I got to be passionate about it. I mean, there's businesses out there where I can probably bank very nicely and get multiples on. But if I'm not aligned with them, if my heart is not really aligned, I'm going to probably move away from it. This is not tech for me, but it was aligned from an educational standpoint. Of educating, impacting. Once again, here comes the terms again, right? Serving after the fact, and so that's the reason I invested here, because it aligned with my heart more than it did maybe with my mind at the end of the day. So, and we'll make it happen because the money will follow at the end anyway. So, yeah.
So smart. A lot of people get in trouble with that type of emotional decision. Bronson, we're talking about it, following our heart in investments sometimes aren't aligned with timing or risk tolerance or the math. So I'm going to lean it more on you about math, because you are quite qualified on the financial side. So, you know, how important is the math side of it for someone like Frank? Because I personally vetted PAC. I'm an advisor. Yeah. I understand the math and the potential of utilizing community in order to effectuate impact, but also to elevate dollars by putting investment into these, you know, key components and bug lights. But can you give us some advice on timing and risk tolerance and math?
Yeah.
When we're looking at deals.
Yeah. So it's funny enough, I graduated in statistics and analytics. So I love math, funny enough. And
not really a linebacker.
I used to keep that quiet, right? You know, but I love telling people I'm a big nerd, right? Yeah, and so I can give you this whole spiel about
it. Your generation, that became super cool.
It did. Yeah.
Like the Austin Ecklers and the Alex Ingles.
Yeah.
Those guys are super nerds and they're like proud of it.
That literally is me. So I totally what you're saying. I think, you know, the math has to math. Math numbers, they don't lie. And that's one thing I really appreciate about math and why I kind of got into it growing up from an early age. I was always interested in that and how numbers play together. And then that led into, you know, okay, I can see numbers in everything. And so it was really valuable. Now, going kind of something to add to that. And, you know, if the math maths, then what? And for me, it's really starts with people. And then it goes, okay, proximity. I want to be around those people.
Yeah.
And then it goes, okay, the right product. And so for me, everything I look at is like, if the math masks are the people, like, do I really want to wake up and go and be with these people? And can I trust these people with my family, my wife and kids? Like, can
the future.
I, yeah, it's like all about the people. And so it just starts there and it goes back that way. But I just think it's so important that it also, you know, you have people that can tell you yes and you have people that can tell you no. You need both.
Yeah.
And it's easy just to get all the yes people.
I have way too many yes people. When I
yeah, you need yes. no people.
Yeah. And the only four no people were my mom, my dad, my best friend, and my wife. And I knew something was wrong when I hated all four of them because they're the only one telling me the truth.
The truth, yeah.
Telling me I was lost and I was going to end up in a really bad place. Unfortunately, they were all right.
Yeah.
And thank God my wife saved my life and changed me, you know, 19 years ago.
Wow.
Gave me time to redeem myself. Julius, one of the things about investment is something people overlook. I call it emotional expense. You know, even in when I'm running my businesses, I have a column now that quantifies the amount of time that I spend interfering with my ease, this emotional expense. So I had an employee very profitable for me, but he caused so many problems with my employees, my customers, and me. Like, you know, I wasted part of my day every day on this MF-er. And yet he was profitable. But when I did the math of the emotional expense, it didn't equate. I was losing money, even though gross, he was the most profitable of all my employees. Net, I was losing because of my emotional expense. How do you interplay judging that interference of emotional expense?
You know, I think that when we're talking about where we're going to invest time or where we're going to invest money, for me, I think it's so clear to be so important to be clear on what's going to create fulfillment. Mm. If you get into any kind of investing, whether it's time or money, and that's not fulfilling, now you're going to be on the wrong side of an investment. It's similar to what you were just saying. You got this guy that's bringing in all this gross, but when you actually look at the end of the week, you're like, this isn't fulfilling. I don't care how much money you're bringing me. And so when I think about how people are going to find fulfillment in life, right? What creates the comprehensive picture? We can all go run out and find success, but I know so many unhappy, successful people. I know people with boatloads of money, and it's hard for them to have any enjoyment in life. So we have to be able to think about fulfillment first. And then once you're able to think about what brings you fulfillment, that's where you go invest your time. The truth of the matter is none of us up here, we started by investing money. We all just invested time. But if you invest time in places where you feel fulfilled, you'll have a life you enjoy. But then guess what's going to come next? Money. Money is going to come if you're doing the things that matter to you, if you're trying to have a positive impact on the world around you. And then when you get this money, then you get to invest in things that outside of what got you the money, kind of like where I'm at as a former football player, investing my time in sports got me the money. But then now that I have money, I get to choose where I want to invest that money. Guess what I'm picking? Places that bring me fulfillment. I've invested in things that gave me returns. And then when return comes and you go, I didn't have any excitement around this. This didn't enrich my life in any way. Okay, I need to pick a different investment in the future. So I really believe that it's critical to be fulfillment focused. I've worked with people in hospital settings. I've talked to people that are wealthy. But when you talk to people that are at the end of their road, when they're later in life, only thing they tell you is about the things that were fulfilling to them.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always thinking of you guys, you know, when I lost everything, it was like I was filling this God-sized hole with everything but God. Everything but fulfilling things. And at my most, when I was worth over $100 million, I was the most empty, low, depressed. I had to medicate myself.
You know, wow.
It was awful. But doing it in a different way, a lot of people attach their emotions to outcomes. So they'll say, and I coach people on this, I'll be happy when.
Yeah.
And I knock that right out of their mouth. I'm like, that when is never coming. You tell me I'm going to do this for the sake of, and you answer that question, you'll be fine the entire time. Now, one of the things that's guaranteed if you're an entrepreneur is that every day, the evidence that is available today is either not going to be there or contrary to where you want to be. And so you have to have some sort of faith that you're going to get to where you want to be or better, including being professional athletes. I'm sure as great as you guys were, that there was plenty of days that you said, I'm never going to get there. this isn't going to happen for me. And you still went to the gym. You still did the workouts. You did what it took to get to where you wanted to be. I see in entrepreneurship, Frank, you deal with this. Most of the days I wake up, I'm like, how the heck? In fact, if somebody would told me I would be where I am today, I would have said, there's no way.
Yeah.
You know, no way. So how do you guys deal with the daily circumstances that are not aligned with your divine direction?
Well, I want to jump in because what you just shared, I think my life experience is a perfect example of that. Like, I didn't even play football in high school.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that I became an NFL Pro Bowler, I didn't even play football in high school. I played 4 years of Division I basketball. There wasn't even a part of me that was thinking that that was what was ahead of me. And so for the people that are listening to this, you have no clue how God is going to play a role in your life and send you to this version of your life that you never knew was coming. The problem is you have to be waiting for discernment and obedience.
Mm.
When I was a freshman at Portland State University, I was the shortest center in Division I basketball. I wasn't playing. I was frustrated. I feel like the coach lied to me and told me all these things. It didn't happen, right? I was the feeling you get when NIL before the NIL was even a thing. And I wanted to transfer. And so for 3 months, like at the end of the basketball season, for 3 months, that was a time between end of basketball season and when the school year was done. And I had to make a decision if I was going to transfer. And so I was praying every night. God, you know, I really want to get out of here. God, this is not fun for me. God, what do I do? God, where should I be? And then at the end of that 3 months, before I had to make this decision, the only thing that came to my spirit was stay.
Ooh.
And then, so here's just this other thing you have to think of there is, then you're like, God, did you not hear all those prayers that I had for 3 months? What do you mean stay? I'm praying to you about where I should go. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to trust it. 4 years later, I'm getting drafted to the Denver Broncos in the fourth round after playing football for 11 months. And I'm going, oh, that's why he said stay. And so when you're trying to imagine what can happen in your life, the faith sometimes has to be there when the only thing you want to do is you want to influence what's going to happen in front of you. Sometimes it's just sitting there and believing that you trust in a higher power that's got you. And there's going to be something that's coming before you that's going to reward that faith that you couldn't have picked for yourself that you never saw in a million years.
Yeah. Well, I lost my mom's house in my bankruptcy. She raised six kids on her own. Mm-hmm. Only reason I ever wanted to be rich was to buy her that house. And I didn't take my name off of her title. So when I lost everything and told her she was moving, I actually said, God's punishing me. And she said, no, God's promoting you, protecting you, loving and perfecting you. Sorry, I get choked up. You got to figure out how.
Mm-hmm.
Son, I don't care about this house. I care about you.
Mm-hmm.
God will take care of both of us. Mm-hmm. And that's that one thing changed my entire perspective, because so many people, when they hit those hard times, like your freshman year, all you think about is punishment. Where do I go? I can't. And for me, it switched the light in me saying, I can do this. I got to figure out where my better self is. I'm just in the wrong place right now and the wrong direction.
Yeah.
You're a faith-based guy as well.
No, yeah.
How's that interplaying in your career as an investor and, you know, an advisor?
Honestly, so much. I love what Julius was sharing, because I think about my career, and one of the most important lessons I learned was my senior year in high school. I'm supposed to go to like the Under Armour All-American game and go do all the things, right? And the second game, we're playing against a team in Idaho, and we're playing on AstroTurf, basketball shoes on, and I'm running, and I get up to this guy, and we collide, and I tear my ACL.
No.
And what was interesting for me is when I got hurt, I knew out of high school I was going to go on a 2-year church mission. So I didn't play sports for 3 years. And it changed my whole, it's like, how do you feel in that situation? But I'm so grateful for that experience, because it taught me what really mattered. And it's something that my dad played in the NFL. He was on the Eagles, backed up Reggie White. And I was born during that time when he was playing. But he'd always tell me, football is not, it's not who you are. I mean, it's just something that we do. It's just what you do. It's not who you are. And for me, that experience in high school shifted my identity. And who am I really?
Yeah.
Who am I really? I am, you know, I, son of God, I am so much bigger than this game. And when I had that type of faith, I felt like I knew exactly where I needed to go, just the direction, and then just focus on what I can do, not what I can't do. And that faith structure helped me in all the decisions that I've made, both in sports, but then also in business, because they're so similar.
Yeah.
And you have to show up every day. You have to, you know, there's so many, the crossover between an entrepreneur and an athlete is, it's like the exact same. So I mean, that's for me, that changed it, you know, identity.
So smart. And our identity can't be attached to money, to our business. And so many people do. And, you know, it's so interesting when you talked about where that identity lies and being able to move past the behaviors and being able to enjoy that pursuit of your potential, not the end goal.
You're the biggest entrepreneur here, and your business has had ups and downs. I'm sure you've woken up some days and going, this thing's dead.
Well, let's talk about this. Let's talk about failures in business. Because use that word, and I'll use it very interchangeably, but at the end of the day, it's to me an educational process that we have to go through. I'm going to go back to 2005, and you guys alluded to the word faith.
When they were born, right?
Exactly. 2005, my dad and I had invested in a business together. My dad put his life savings and trusted me into a business that we did in Florida. I'm out of New York. Took 3 years and I lost all the money.
Mm.
And unfortunately, in some of the dealings that we made, we ended up, my parents were trying to get extorted. It just went in the wrong direction the way the business went. It was the one time that I said to myself, I need to reach out to something above me. And that's when I opened up my heart to God.
Mm.
2005, when people ask me my turning point.
Yeah.
It was 2005. I sat down with a priest for 3.5 hours. All my hate, my anger, cried, just let it all open up, right? And I've never turned back ever since. So my faith and the way I think, so I brought up my heart. Listen, I'm all about the numbers too and everything like that, right? Yeah. I have people that vet my investments. Yeah,
I don't think you stole money out.
No.
Although I would ask for it if you did.
But I always look back to me, things that I can't control, things I always lean on the one above, and I always thank him all the time for putting me in a position to one, wake up, go to sleep. I've had an opportunity to impact during the day, and that's the way I lead myself every day. You know, waking up, hey, thank you, God, put me in a position to impact again, to serve. Let me go to sleep and thank you again. Give me another opportunity tomorrow. Yeah. And I try to teach everybody to do the same thing. Hey, let's do it. Obviously, we have to be smart in business, of course, right? There's rules to that engagement. So I'm into the math.
That's empowering, though. Like what you're talking about, waking up every day in that. I think it's a lot easier to handle a stressful situation, especially in business, which they're going to come. But if you have that level of gratitude and appreciation just for the opportunity, it's like,
100%
yeah,
right here, man.
I love that.
That's the easiest way to change your life is to say thank you when you wake up, say thank you when you go to bed. Takes 0.1 seconds and it's free. And here's the thing. Whenever I tell people that every day, nobody disagrees with me. The world thought leaders, the billionaires, the millionaires, yeah, entrepreneurs, yeah, celebrities, athletes, entertainer, all the people I was around with, I talk about gratitude. Not ever once did someone say, no, gratitude's bullshit. Everybody shakes their head. But here's the saddest thing. By tonight, half the people listening to this won't say thank you. By tomorrow morning, another half of those people won't say thank you. And within 3 days, almost everyone listening who is shaking their head yes of how important and free and fast gratitude is and how impactful, they won't be saying thank you. So what I want people to do is take these three great examples, these advisors to pack, investor to pack, and think about how grateful we are to have this community, not just this community, but the community out there. Real quick, where can people find you guys? Frank, go first.
LinkedIn, all social media, Frank. I think it's Frank_Perdomo.
I love that.
Don't find me in there.
I think Frank_Perdomo.
I have a social media company that handles all that.
Yeah, exactly.
His social media company is shaking their heads right now. Like, we're counting on you.
He's wasting his money. He's wasting his money. He's too big of a heart. Get him into Bronson's math class. Right. Bronson, what do you got?
You're in the math class. All right, I'm on LinkedIn. And then also I'm on Instagram, BKafusi90.
BKafusi90.
Yep.
And Julius.
Yeah, so I have the distinct pleasure of having personal social media platforms and business platforms. So I've got about 8 of them But for the
just
personal
Google
side, yeah. Yeah. Julius AI Thomas on LinkedIn, Julius underscore Thomas on Instagram. If you want to learn more about optimal performance and what we're doing to create a pursuit of personal and professional excellence that's evidence-based, you can find us on LinkedIn, Optimal Performance. We're on TikTok now, Optimal Performance System, Optimal Performance System on Instagram too. So just doing what I can to spread positivity out into the world. And so grateful to be able to share the stage with you guys, man. It's awesome. You guys are just dropping gems.
Oh, man. Vice versa. Yeah. Remember, everybody, be more interested than interesting. Be kind to your future self and do good deeds. This is David Meltzer with Entrepreneurs, The Playbook.